Feel like the weight of emotion is too much to bear. There's too much swimming in your head and your heart and your just entire being is starting to feel almost physically ill. I've been there and I've overcome it and I want to show you how. And I know that there are different seasons of our life where we go through different challenges and we know we're supposed to handle it well, but it's often really, really hard. And you might just want some quick relief. If that's the case, you're going to get it right here. This podcast's for you. Let's go. Hello, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome back to the Mindful Muslimah Speaks podcast. I'm your host, Mindful Muslimah, coming to you every week on topics that Muslimahs request. 95% of our podcasts are requests from you. Where can you request? On Instagram. I would love to hear what you want us to cover next that's important to you. You can always DM me at Mindful Muslimah. So welcome back, guys. And today we're going to talk about a topic. A lot of women are struggling emotionally, as we are from time to time, but I've been getting an incredibly high amount of requests about this topic lately. And I want to make sure we just took a quick pause from what we were working on and we address this and we help our sisters to get quicker relief. Oftentimes when you need help, it's just daunting thinking of coming up with solutions or next steps or just anything on your own in general. And so in this podcast, we're kind of going to do a quick hit on some oldies but goodies in terms of tips and then maybe some new ones and new examples and stories to throw in to make it super relevant to you. And I've been there, as you know, and I'm going to say this because maybe a lot of you are new to the podcast. I had struggled with a lot of emotional instability. I had been very, very open with you guys in the beginning where I was a practicing Muslimah and I'm still am, alhamdulillah. I'm leading the community. I'm doing everything. But I myself am struggling. And I want to normalize this. Just yesterday we were reading in the book club. Shout out to another group of you who were with me yesterday. Alhamdulillah. So, so beautiful. We were reading a story of Khalid. Khalid is an imam in the UK. And we were reading his story of how he was struggling with one of his children. And no matter what he did, the child who was a teenager really would not come around. And we talked about what the author said was some of the solution related to that. But what I will say today in relation to the topic of today is that it was really clear that even though he's an imam, he's struggling. And that is the thing we always like make people superhuman. Just because they do things that we admire doesn't mean that they are not themselves in need. We all are, right? So alhamdulillah. So if you are in need and you are struggling, that is totally normal, but we're going to help you get right through that. And with this heartfelt conversation, I hope we're going to tackle some real and often challenging experiences of emotional overwhelm and give you some practical solutions to regain control and find peace. All right, I'm going to go through about five things you can do that are really important and helpful for you. And if any of them at any time feel like they're too much for you, you don't have them at your fingertips, you can always message me on Instagram, ask for help. You guys know we also have an entire website where we have just tons of additional free resources, classes, courses, sisterhood support, whatever you need, www.mindful-muslimah.com. And last thing I'll say is a lot of you are really enjoying the book club, but you want to like even get signed up for the next one. I'll make sure below I drop the link that if you want to be in the next cohort, which will be the last one for the year, if you kind of like felt like you missed this one, you can get on in. And if you're already in the book club right now, you might want to keep the party going and get on the next one. And inshallah ta'ala, again, I'll leave that below. So let's start with number one. And I have this conversation a lot. And I think I might have mentioned in a podcast or two back, but I have this conversation with a lot of sisters. It's really important that we understand that nothing that we do every day is just like the first time. Oftentimes we do things the same way over and over again. And I think I was just saying this either in the book club or the other day on the podcast where I was saying like, when you want to brush your teeth, don't you kind of, you can just kind of wake up and walk to the bathroom and do it almost like unconsciously, right? Sometimes we're driving to a place. It's almost like you could get there without really paying attention. Not that you should do that, but it does happen, right? There's many things we kind of do on autopilot. And what happens is after a while, when we get a little disconnected with ourselves, disconnected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't realize that we are not paying attention to ourselves. And that much of what we're doing is the same thing every day. We're having the same types of conversations, same types of fights, same types of stress, same type. I mean, really think about it, right? If you have work, if you have kids, if you have a spouse, it's oftentimes very much the same. And it's almost like, oh, I wish it wasn't that way. I wish I could change it. Well, identifying your triggers and understanding what sets off your kind of emotional storms is really important. A lot of women are like, great, that sounds nice. How do I actually do that? Let me tell you a quick and easy way. And you might say, oh, that sounds like work. But let me tell you what's work. What's work is feeling these emotions every day, being unproductive and beating yourself up because you don't feel good enough to do what you need to do because you're getting overwhelmed, or fighting with people and losing relationships because you are emotionally at your end, at your wit's end, right? Or just a million different things. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're lonely. There's chronic things that you should, you know, talk to a medical professional about. But then a lot of us are going through basic things that we really, really could grab control of. And so one thing you can do is you can grab a notebook, or if you're not a writer, you're a talker or a texter, I got you too. No worries. You should keep track for at least 5 days of whenever things get emotionally overwhelming. And I'm going to give you a hint right now. So like, let's pretend all of a sudden my toddler walks in the room and she does something and I could feel my body just, my shoulders are tensing up, my face is clenching, my fists are clenching. Like, I start feeling myself getting upset. You should know your body, right? And then I write that down. Toddler did this. I felt like this. Then next one, I drive to work. Have a conversation with somebody, absolutely irks me. And then I write down, this person did this or said this, and I felt like this. It's really that simple. Do that for about 5 to 7 days. I promise you, you will see a pattern that is shocking. And you might not realize it, but the same people and things are doing the same things to you in your body and your mind every day. And when you see that pattern, it's so much easier to go to the next step. Well, if you want to talk to me, we can talk about. I actually do an entirely free class where I explain your mind and your body. And when you see how this is, you might be shocked that it's very biological and it's not your fault. And so if you could just get a hold of it, be aware of it, you could have a lot more ease. That is another conversation, but keeping track of your triggers is an amazing first step to stopping overwhelm. Okay, another one, number two, is mindfulness techniques. Simple yet powerful practices that can keep you grounded. For example, as soon as I notice like my shoulders tense up and this and that and happening with the kids, I might have to breathe. I might have to walk out of the room, talk to myself, make it better. It all comes down to the awareness in the moment. Instead of saying things I don't want to say, doing things I don't want to do, feeling uncomfortable, or even with a spouse, I might have to say, this is really upsetting me right now. I need to walk away for 5 minutes and come back. I just need to breathe or cool off. Like, having the mindful understanding that that's what you're starting to feel like you're going to say something you don't want to say or mean, and catching yourself in the moment. These are things that take time, but they're little things that can literally save a marriage or save a childhood, in terms of parenting. Number three, self-compassion. I want to say that as much as we hear all these guru things, the other day I was like, there's this video and the brother was like, I'm going to show you a perfect day. And he was joking around. It was total like satire, but he was saying first I'm going to wake up and I'm going to go like for a 7K run. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to, take a shower with all the right, like toxic free body, whatever. And I'm going to do an amazing skin routine. And then I'm going to go and have like the perfect balanced breakfast. And then I'm going to take all my, my vitamins and I'm going to do this. And he's like, then I'm going to do meditation. And then I'm like, he's going on and on about how he's going to have this perfect morning that is incredibly unrealistic. Let's just face it. Social media and social pressure has made it feel completely unrealistic for us to do certain things. And one of them is self-compassion, because you're so hard on yourself of all the things you're not doing. You're not productive enough. You're not, whatever enough. And it's really, really making us just beat ourselves up. So learning to be kind to yourself during tough times. Okay. Here's a very fast way to switch a negative mindset on that to a positive one, by adding one word. Yeah, I told you I'm going to come with quick hit tips. One word. Okay, so what is that one word? Yet. You might have heard me say this before. If you know me, shout out to my Thrive sisters. You definitely should know this one. Mentorship ladies, if you don't know yet, you will. Self-compassion can sound like this. I don't know how to do it. No, wait a minute. I don't know how to do it yet. Just add the word yet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help me. I'm going to get through this. Now, what is the power of adding the word yet is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show you how to do it, but you're also leaving this door open that I'm still learning. I can't do it. It's like, sounds pretty final, right? It's over. I've done my try and I'm not figuring out. But when you add yet, it is incredibly, incredibly powerful, right? Try this one the next time you're beating yourself up and make a lot of dhikr, I promise. Healthy outlets. So one of the things I want to say after, and we're going to hit number four right now. So identifying triggers, mindfulness techniques, self-compassion, healthy outlets. When we all start to feel overwhelmed, we need to go to a place where people get us, where we can just get relaxed. We can feel heard. We can feel seen. We can feel like I have women that I could share stuff with. Now, I will say in the podcast lately, you guys have been absolutely amazing, but also you're amazing in the book club. When I meet with you on the weekend, I can tell that our sisters are yearning for ease, yearning for connection. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Also, sometimes our sisters are very talkative or they're very quiet. And the funny thing is, when they're quiet, I find it's also because they want to hear something. I'm just here to hear something. I want to just feel something. I want to just like be in the room and you guys make me feel happy or make me cry and things like that. We need each other. It's not like you're codependent. We have, like, you know, it's funny. We have these Western terms and Western psychology, and not till I got older did I realize that they act like you're supposed to be independent. The entire psychology is very much about you're supposed to be able to self-heal, do everything yourself, self. And if you have too much leaning on your spouse or your spouse is leaning on you too much, it's considered toxic and codependency is very not good. But they don't have, that's not the Islamic approach. Islamic approach is I should be able to lean on my husband. He should be able to lean on me. And it's not that Western is saying you can't do that. It's just that there's a level where it becomes judgmental that, like, there's something wrong with you. You need to pull back. You need to be more independent. No. In a relationship, in our sisterhood that we have, especially in Thrive, we're often leaning on each other in times of complete weakness and needing each other to help us get ourselves back up and get on track. That is not a sign of weakness. If anything, that is a sign of strength, that you are asking for help. You know yourself well enough to ask for help. You are confident enough that, you know, Allah will help you by asking others for help the way He's telling us to lean on each other. So let's not look at that as a weakness. Finding effective ways to release these pent-up emotions, talk to other women, connect and feel better is, you're right, it's actually the sisterly right of each other to go to each other when we're sick, check on each other, love each other. And we hope that you felt that inside of the book club, here in the podcast, and inside of Thrive. Our goal is to give you like one big virtual hack. And you need it, you deserve it. I need it, we all need it. It's not a human weakness. It is just an absolute as being a human. And lastly, I wanna say it kind of goes hand in hand with healthy outlets just in general. It could be people, it could be exercise, right? But it could be building a support system around yourself. I know a lot of women who truly struggle alone. I had a sister the other day who was calling me on a consultation call, and she was saying how absolutely alone she was as she was studying in another country. I actually get this a lot. A lot of these women are really tough on themselves. I should have been able to figure it out by now. I should have been able to get this and that together. I said, sis, you're all alone. Rasulullah, he said, to cut yourself from the Muslim community is like to cut your jugular vein. What is the jugular vein? It's the blood. It's the lifeline. When you can live completely separate from everyone in an isolated space, or you live in a neighborhood full of non-Muslims away from the Muslim community, that's, you know, your prerogative to do, but you're going to find this effect where you don't have that support of people who get you, understand you. So one thing's going to happen. Either you're going to stay alone and kind of like, you know, then feel really alone, right? Or you're going to start to fall into the ways of the non-Muslims by trying to mesh into them because you need that sense of community. And then what happens then is a lot of other stuff. I have a lot of sisters tell me how much they fall off the deen. They start to take off hijab. They start to sin because, you know, life becomes normal. And that's what shaitan does. His job is to normalize things that are haram, to make the haram halal and the halal haram. And what we need to understand is that's because we're lacking that support system. When I made Thrive for all the sisters, I said to them, I want to build a village. You ever heard that saying, it takes a village to raise a child? Well, it takes a village to support one another. It is not something we're meant to do. We don't, what's that saying? No man should live on an island. Like, it's not supposed to be that way Islamically, but many of us are. with our feelings, with our thoughts. We feel we're the only ones who have them. Like 9 out of 10 times when people join Thrive or they join the book clubs that we have, like the free book clubs, people are like, oh my gosh, I thought I was the only one who thought that. I thought I was the only one who felt that. Then you have like 100 and something women in the room and they're like, nope, me too. Same thing when I do the workshops. Everyone's like, oh, I thought I was the only one. And then there you are. You have like hundreds of women going, no, me too. It is so validating. And on top of that, it is also making you feel like, okay, maybe if I stepped off my island, I might actually see that there's help for me. And that's what I want for you for this podcast. I want you to feel like you have tools, you have places. And one of the things that we do is we create tools, we create places and spaces for women to go to feel like they can actually fix the problems they're in, not just sit in them. The big difference is action. For you, you can listen to the podcast passively, or you can step up and do something to find use for those tools that I just gave you. For example, if I said identifying triggers, are you going to pick up that notebook and write for 5 days? Or if you don't like that, by the way, you can pick up your phone and just hit the notes tab, hit the microphone and do Monday. This is what happened. This is how I felt. Tuesday, this is, you know, as many as you can. And I want you just to take action on this podcast in terms of whatever it is, even if it's the mindfulness. I'll do a little recap here. Mindfulness techniques where you go and you say, oh, you know, I'm feeling this, but you know, I'm going to walk away out the room if I'm getting upset. I'm going to say, hey, this is upsetting me right now. I just need 5 minutes. I'll be right back. Or, hey, I can't have this conversation right now. Let me call you back when we're both a little calmer. You know, I think it's really, really important that we have these, the self-compassion, the healthy outlets, the building support system. If you have not heard me on the podcast, I have shared my personal journey many a times about these things. And this episode is not just about managing your emotions. It's about empowering yourself to thrive despite challenges. And I know you can. You've done it before. And if you can't remember a time before, what you have to think about is that when we connect with ourselves, even 5 to 10 minutes every day, and Allah, we take that time, you're going to find things become more relevant, easier. Even just in the mornings, if you're doing anything related to talking to Allah, if you're driving in the car, talking to Allah, if you're walking down the street, talking to Allah, keep your connection going no matter what. When we were looking in the book club at the story of Khalid and the story of other sisters, it was just that connection by talking to Allah. Even if you're not in a place of religiosity with prayer and all that stuff, literally just talking to Him, your raw feelings, your raw emotions, your raw struggles, asking for help. Da'a is obvious. I didn't mention da'a today. Da'a is obvious. It should be regular. If it's not, you can do that already. Consider that the reminder bonus tip. Love you all for the sake of Allah. You have an absolutely amazing week. We have so much coming up for you. And I cannot wait to see you in the next one. Assalamu alaikum.